Let's make this happen. It's a podcast, son. My name is Greg the S-Talker. You can call me Greg. You can call me Uncle G. But one thing you can call me is a proud daddy to my children. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? All right, what's up? This is Growing Daddy. This is the podcast about me being a better father to my children. Yes. Word. What's up, y'all? 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 Ah, yes, this is the, I like doing this. This is, you know, this podcast is basically be about me trying to be a better father. I mean, like, a lot of stuff what I'm going through is really for the first time. So I don't expect me to have all the answers. Sometimes this is what's off my mind. And I just be asking, you know, a little bit of, this is not like, you blow your nose. Like, you know, when you got something clogged in your nose and you just, you know, it's irritating you, but you're trying to feel better or you breathe better, right? You know, you're a little reprieve from it. So this is me blowing my nose. I know it sounds a little, I shouldn't even use that as a, you know, but this is what it goes down to. So, I don't know. I got a mix of things going on. You know, it's school. I got two kids now in school, right? And it's been a little bit of a hectic moment because really and truly, I've been trying to find the best way to get them more efficient. And I kind of realized what COVID has put us in, I think our expectation of efficiency is kind of like, you know, we've been contorting ourselves to a whole lot of the expectations, time frames, you know. Okay, kids get out of school, but they got to get up. They got to go to school. So now we're dealing with stuff like, oh, you got to get up at a certain time and you got to catch the bus at a certain time. And this one got to be at school at a certain time. And this one don't be at the same bus location. And it's just like, you know, and it's just, and then you got after school and then you got, well, then you got homework. I mean, and then when you look and turn around, like the day's gone, right? And the day's gone. I mean, yeah, you know, you know, get to work, whatever, but you put all these things, you know, because you know, for your children, there's only a limited amount of time, right? You don't have the luxury of just waiting, you know, like some parents, right? You know, before they trusted the system, my parents trusted the system. They had no choice. They came from another country and they assume that the system was rigged for their best interest. Now, the system has his quirks, right? But depending on where you are in the system, well, what do you mean, G? Well, some places, you know, have a good education and some places don't. And if you don't know, you say, hey, look, it all boils down to the child's willingness to learn. But then, as you real, you know, I mean, okay, well, they didn't go to school in America, so they don't know, right? All their teachers were black. You know what I'm saying? So the you know, this whole thing about, you know, microaggression, they don't know about that. You know, they don't know, you know, how they'll say things to, and you just like, that's a lie. But, you know, where they're from, the teacher right. The teacher right. Well, then you got the prison to pipeline. And then you see, why is it that certain schools and certain areas and certain children are not being, you know, flourished in a way that, you know, some people say it's economics. So these kids go to school and it's the economics. They don't have no food or, I mean, let's say breakfast, and they got a parent homes and all these, you know, all these extremities to that. Yes, I understand. So when you do come to school, they're stressed out. I don't know if y'all saw the incident, in my area, because I'm in Massachusetts, there's a big school fight in Lawrence, right? Like, you know, several, you know, teach kid punching a teacher as well as a big, you know, it was a brawl. It was on the news, right? And you go, oh my God, these kids, they don't know, but they're going through a lot of stress, right? And Lawrence is not, you know, one of those, you know, affluent towns. It has its issues, right? And it's, I don't know, even, you know, economic, like, you know, not everybody's doing good, right? And it's part of the public system, right? And so there are going to be certain kids who, you know, as well are going to flourish, right? Because their parents is going to do the best that they can with what they got, right? And then you got kids who are in school who don't have much of anything. So they're in the mix with everyone. Now you hope that, you know, those kids kind of be a positive influence on them to push them. But then you got other extremities that are, you know, maybe they didn't learn as much, or they wasn't, you know, taught as much, or they wasn't encouraged or whatever, you know. So these kids are not necessarily able to equip themselves with the current grade level that they're at. Now, I know, you know, what that felt like, you know, I mean, I went to, you know, anybody know, I went to public school all day, every day, right? And I felt like, you know, first grade, second grade, you know, I did well. Fourth grade, we did well. Fifth grade, we did well. And I think we did that was because that was the level, if I remember, more so that I can remember, that my mom was involved, right? My mother, you know, coming from the islands, she didn't graduate when she came up here when she was in her teens. So she had some semblance of education down there. I mean, I don't know, because she still came when she got here, she still tried to go to high school. So it was, you know, she in that last year, but I don't think she even, you know, she crossed the stage or anything like that. So she was able, right, with her involvement, to give a good idea of how much we should learn and how we should learn, right? So she was able to do that. So we were able to read, you know. I don't think the teachers really helped that much, but I can't say. But I just know, you know, we did all right. Like, you know, we thinking we was doing good. You know what I'm saying? And the expectation was, yeah, we can help out. So she knows what to do, and she can work the work. And then I went to the middle school, and that's where we saw the chaos. Now, at that middle school, I don't know, it was back at the time, it was called Curly. I mean, it was known for fights. I mean, it was like a fight fest. Like, you go to school, you all these kids are fighting. Everybody fighting. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, you just worried, like, security guards, like, and it seems like, you know, when you're, you know, fifth grade, and you go in and you see these kids in sixth and the seventh, they're like huge, right? They're like big men in your eyes. You're like, wow, these guys are big, and but their mentality is they are children. I mean, now I'm looking at it, my God, they were children, and They were not necessarily in their right frame of, you know, of behavior. And for whatever reason that was, you know, I don't know. Because I just know if I do something like that, when I go home, I get beat. Right? It was a lash. Right? That was keeping me in control. Right? Maybe so. Right? I mean, my father, he worked, right? So, I mean, my father was there. I seen him, you know what I'm saying? And I know if I didn't clean my room, it'd be issues, right? Shoot. It growing up, I mean, if this is like therapist or something like that, but, you know, you knew if something was wrong. You know, if he came in the door, you hear, the man even had to say, good evening, I in the door. I just hear the door open. And then I hear his bangles, like back then he had more of them, but, you know, he had bracelets, so he had a silver bracelet. So you hear the ting, 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 like the metal knocking up against each other, and it just brings fear. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God, I didn't do my homework, or I ain't clean, I ain't finished this room, or you know what I'm saying? So I ain't looking for no police officer to do me that, right? I done under house arrest as it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm under house arrest as it is. Not this was prison, but they did feed me, right? They fed me. They had bunk. You know what I'm saying? I got to go into the yard, you know what I'm saying, for a little bit. And I had to go back in, right? You know what I'm saying? So I could say that was, you know, and it wasn't a penitentiary. I mean, we had rec time, we had TV time. Man, you know, shoot, hey, I guess that's it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I did my time, you know what I'm saying? But as I got, you know, I took the exam, and this is the independent exam. This is where we're going with this whole thing for the show. I'm telling the story. We had gotten a tutor, right? Because my parents couldn't, my mom at least, my dad didn't, you know, he pipe fitter and welding, that is it. You know what I'm saying? He in a trade, yeah, he's it. So that was the end of where my mother could assist us in our education, right? That was the fifth grade. Sixth grade, basically, because we took the exam. They called it the SSAT, right? Now they have these new tests called the ISEE, right? Or, you know, for the tests that usually for kids in Boston to get into the top three public school for Boston Public, which was BL. BLS, Boston Latin School, excuse my, and BLA, Boston Latin Academy, and then you get to John D. O'Brien, right? So those are the three top schools you took an exam for, and even they even test you with Copley, whatever the case may be, right? So in it, you know, we was fortunate and took the exam and scored enough to get into BLA. Right. And my cousin, you know what I'm saying, who listens on the chat, you know, he's basically not an executive producer, but he definitely be, you know, keeping me up to par with what was going on. We'll say, man, he's a genius. So he was able to get into BLS. And my other cousin, she got into BLS. You know what I'm saying? It was just me and my brother that got into BLA. Like we wasn't smart enough, I guess. You know, we were just enough to get by, right? So I know how that from there, after there, you know, my parents can't assist me with nothing. And as we went to the school, you know, we saw where the pressure is, because now the system pressure came into play where there was, you know, this is like, not to say this is like one of the top schools or in the whatever, and their pressure is to be like, well, you know, look to your left, look to your right, only one of you will not be here, right? So, you know, if you look into your left, you're looking to your right, well, shit, I don't know, maybe, I don't, if I'm looking, maybe these people are over here, or I should have looked, because if I didn't look, maybe they wouldn't be here, and I would be, you know, but neither here nor there. But the pressure is there, and then I think they compound it with not assisting in your education. So it was high academics, blah 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 blah, but it wasn't necessarily conforming to the child's intellect, right? Children are different. Like everybody was, it was like funnel these kids into this one little square peg, right? You gotta be in a square peg or we don't understand you, we're not feeling you, you're not, you know. I mean, there were some talented people, creative, imaginative. You know, and it was just like, well, you just got to go to college. And it was just like, I just think it was just so monotonous the way they just taught the same for every student. Or maybe they didn't really care if we passed or not. That's why maybe, you know, and where are you going with this? Because I didn't think the education was suited for us in the first place. And it brings me to this. So now my children are in independent schools, right? And you go, Jesus Christ, bougie Negroes. No. I mean, I got to talk to my boy. He talks about it, you know, and this, it's fortunate. And long story short, we was in a school that we wanted to be at. And then the school, for some reason, the archdiocese closed the school down. So we had no choice but to find a different institution. And now you're stuck with MECO in the Boston region, or another Catholic school, or, you know, a charter school. And those charter schools is like, you know, you look at the school, you rate whatever it is, and then you are making the decision whether you can get in. You file the application, and it's like a lottery. So it's like, did you get picked? Are you the chosen one? You know what I'm saying? And then you're like, you know, and that right there, it's like, as for a parent, it's very stressful, right? To make a decision on what school you want to get, and then they tell you, no, you didn't get in. You didn't, you know, oh, you're on a wait list. You're number 700. So why is the quality of this school better than the quality of the next school down, right? The problem is, you know, why is it that these charter schools are the you know, as far as the deeming, I don't know, use the wrong word, but the defining factor of whether or not you're at least getting into a better school. And it's Boston Public, right? So let's go back to MECO. And I went to MECO once, you know. You got to get up early in the morning, and you got to get on this bus, and you're going way to, and out of your own community. And yes, the lawn is green, and the school looks newer, and it's, you know, those look bright because the windows are big, and then light comes in, and there's no real, because there was no trees. I mean, there's trees. Basically, there's no buildings blocking anything. You know what I'm saying? So you look outside the window, and it's just nothing but grass and little fields and what. So yeah, it feels like, oh wow, this is quaint, this is nice, and everything, but. But I had a lot of fights. I just remember being on second grade. It was just nothing but fight. Again, well, it's not like I was fighting because I want to be a tough guy. No, you just felt like they didn't want you, and you didn't fit in. And I don't know, maybe you took stuff personally to what they were saying. I don't think they were saying anything that was nice, right? But I mean, it was a cultural shock. Like, you know, when you hear kids cuss at their parents and you go, my goodness, you could get away with this? Like, are you not dead? Like, I would never tell my mom, shut up or whatever. For real, that was the first time I saw some stuff. And let me try that at home and see what happens to me. I don't think I'd be standing here. Matter of fact, I would probably be sitting. I'd be like in a wheelchair, right? But I didn't think I want my kids to go through that. Plus, cause usually my sisters went, my brothers went, they finished their high schools in a MECO program. Nothing wrong with MECO. I think it's, you know, some certain good things about it. At least it has the ability to put you in the environment where the school has the resources to cover for certain things that other schools don't. And maybe it filters out a couple of individuals that you don't think you would want to be around, right? And you hope that the community that you place your kid in has the same, you know, they're not going through certain things, right? They're not going through unemployment, or but they could, you know what I'm saying? But they're not going through drug addiction, but they could, you know what I'm saying? It's a little more hidden, you know what I'm saying, or whatever they're going through. So, you know, but, you know, you're not worrying about stepping out and getting robbed or, you know, getting jumped, right? That's like a humongous thing to be going to school and be like, man, they're going to take my money. When I go outside, I'm going to get robbed. Like, who wants to, what kind of psyche is that for a kid to feel like, it's a problem to get to school, then there's a problem to get home. Who wants that kind of, you know? But then one of the biggest things that I didn't like about being in Mexico is just, like you said, you know, you didn't feel like you was part of the community. So it's almost like we took in these kids and that's, we're doing them a favor. But yet and still, you know what I'm saying, it's not the same. You're still fighting for yourself. And just like how I went to, when I went to, you know, Latin Academy, I didn't feel like they would have your best interest all the time, especially when it comes to counselors. There is a, say, you know, you move like, well, I would like to go to this school. And they're like, nah, I don't think he should go to that school. And you go, God damn, why? And they're like, no, you shouldn't. You wouldn't want to go. Why don't you go to this community college? Now, here's the thing. I don't think they tell anybody else that, right? They don't go, hey, well, you know, you want to go to Harvard? I don't think you want to go to Harvard. Maybe you want to go to, you know, maybe you want to go to Framingham State. Like, you know, they don't give them that kind of, like, well, you want to do that? Hey, let's see what we can do in order to put you in the right position to be there, right? And that's what your guidance counselor's up for. If that's his guidance, some guidance counselor's like, well, you know what? If they really cared, they'd be like, hey, if they really cared much about you, they'd be like, hey, well, you know, you could always try the Army. You do well in green. You'd be a great soldier. The way you play football at school, my God, you'd be on the front line making sure that everyone in this country is safe, as well as all your friends back home who are doing very well at who's at Harvard. You got to protect those people. You got to protect us. Well, as usual. So my daughter right now is, she wanted to be in a particular school. And come to find out, I mean, Jesus. I mean, it's one of the, you know, top schools. And, you know, it ranks, right? And it's her goal. And I'm like, all right, go ahead, baby girl. You know? And I'm like, all right, so now we look at, you know, there's certain things you got to go through. There's a lot of hoops, you know, and hopefully as parents you prepare for them. Like, you know what I'm saying? You take them to math. We take her to Russian math things so she could have a good idea, concept of math, doing algebra and all kinds of stuff like that, you know. And, she, you know, you make sure she's in a reading. But then, you know, you make sure she's in doing, like, certain things like 4-H and she's had experience in bike riding, horse riding, you know what I'm saying? She's into that stuff, and into nature, and a whole heap of things that, you know, that talent that she has. Like, she can write, and she's very intelligent. You know, we're back to all the things that make her unique and just amazing. And then I look at this, we was like, oh, now we're, first thing we got to come back is to this test, which is the ISEE. ISEE, Independent School Entry Exam. And I'm like, okay, well, she's going into the fifth grade. This is going into the fifth grade. And I see the vocabulary stuff, like a bash. And I'm like, what? And high-level words that I didn't think in the reading list, I mean, when I looked at some of them, I can't even tell you, because I was just like, I was amazed, abbreviated. And I'm sitting there like, whoa, 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 whoa. What children book at her age in the fourth grade? It's going to be like, well, the doctor abbreviated what he couldn't find in his bash, right? I don't think, so I'm sitting there like, yo, again. These tests are not necessarily telling a person how smart they are. It's just basically saying, well, how prepared were you? And if you were prepared, that meant that you were doing certain things that others are not doing or capable of doing to make sure that you are filtered from the rest of the people. That's what I'm looking at. And but it's, but then you go in, you're like, okay, when I visit the campus, and I and this is the funny thing about it. Before she even thought about going to this particular school, I mean, I don't know what made me go on that campus again. But this is a good thing about parents, and I think as a new parent or your grandparent or wherever the case may be, but even as a new parent, your job is not just to let the child figure out what it is that they want to do. Well, at a certain point, right? But you got to at least put them in positions. And you got to have some idea of what kind of positions that you want to see your child in, right? I went on campus, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Now, this is, you know, this is a all-girls school, and it enters from the fifth grade up until high school, right? And just going on campus alone, I was like, ooh, this looks like a college campus. This ain't no joke. You know, the gym and the, you know, the music room and the theater and the science labs. And I mean, I was like, whoa, oh my God. And the lunchroom, dude, the lunch, it wasn't no cafeteria. When you're in a cafeteria, I don't know if y'all remember when you smell when they was making meatloaf. You're like, oh, we got meatloaf. And you just pray they got some pizza in it. That's all. You was like, yo, if they just got pizza, I'm good. There's nothing else I want. Pizza and honey bun. That was it. That was all you could add. Okay, Sloppy Joe's? Yes. Pizza, Sloppy Joe, you know what I'm saying? And honey bun. You know what I mean? I don't think there was anything else that kind of like really was just the highlight, you know what I'm saying? The burgers were just in a plastic bag or something like that. Like they just microwave. I don't know what it was. They tried. I mean, yeah, there was something like, you know, you look and it's green. Yeah, I put it on my plate, right? But no, over there at that school, I'm sitting there like, wee, freshman 10. I'd have came in 20 pounds before freshman 10 going in. I'm serious. I'm like, we would have been jamming. Oh my gosh. All right. So, I mean, I'm just saying, but they have all the things. They have athletics. They got rowing. They got all these things to sort of attract or keep a child's attention and focus and maybe drive them into a different location where they want to excel and exceed at. And the environment is like, hey, if we make it, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully this is, everybody's dog eats dog. Cause where I was, you know, it was like dog eat dog. It was just, you know, I need to be the number one in my class, and that's it, because there's no other way for me to get into school. Most of these kids, they're like, well, you know, I'll find a way to get into the right school. You know what I'm saying? Like if my parents gave a wing to the school, I'm good. I'm being Harvard. So I ain't trying to knock you, whatever. I'm going to get in no matter what. So hopefully you'll be my friend and you will have some place to hang out when we're together. But where I was, it was just, you know, it was blood sport, right? Well, that's what they thought. Oh, that's the mentality was given, right? And, you know, and then hopefully you get a good kindness counselor that try to lead you, but it wasn't there, you know. Most of the black kids, you know, who, if they didn't go to HBCU, which is good, that was like that. That was the high rack, right? You made that. If you did make it to a Ivy League school, you did not talk to nobody. You was just the straight, did your thing, and that was it. I mean, but there's others who, but it just seems as if they was very supportive of you reaching to that kind of level, right? They were just happy to get rid of you, whether you graduated or not, especially if you were black. I mean, this is my experience. So you hope that at these independent schools, just because you're paying, because you're cutting them a check, you know what I'm saying? your expectation is like, yo, they want me, they want my job because I'm paying them. I'm dropping money, right? That's their incentive. Their incentive is to keep the money flowing, right? Not like these other schools, they could care less because the check is going to be there because the state's going to give them, the state or the city is going to give them enough money to keep the lights on. I mean, there's the power, right? So as I'm talking about this, I mean, I have two kids who are in independent school. And my son, he's in an independent school too. And he's in pre-K. And every morning, you know, or every morning I'm fighting to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, right? Which it shouldn't be like, hey, 5 o'clock in the morning, there ain't nothing. You should be up before the sun comes up. True, right? But, you know, a child got to 5 o'clock in the morning, just so if you give him a time, he got to catch a bus for like 6:40. So you can't wake a child up at 6 o'clock at 4 years old and get him ready to leave, to travel, to get the bus. Ain't coming to your house. So you gotta, it's a 5 minute drive, if no traffic, just to get to the bus on time. So, I mean, we're factoring how bad that is, right? So if he gets out at get up at 5:30 in the morning to travel outside of his home community, to hop a bus that probably takes him an hour ride on a bus to be at school, and then come back late, you know, like let's say he gets home, if I take the late 5:30, Jesus Christ, 12 hours is almost 12 hours he's been in the process of school. Or some form of school at four. So, but as I go, I'm looking at the I fell in love with the school, and this is the story. I visit his school before he went into the school, before he was even born. We saw the school, and it was before my even daughter, who's 5 years older, we went to some open house and we was impressed as we walked the halls, and it was like, oh, well, this is an all boys school. It was like, well, we only got a daughter, so ain't nothing happening here, you know, but I keep it on the checklist. Pretty nice. You know what I'm saying? One to think about if ever that crossed, you know what I'm saying? And that wasn't even, a little older, you know what I'm saying? First child at 40. So ain't that, you know, ain't going to be that quick. But there's just like how I saw, where my daughter's at now too. She before we school and before we went to the Catholic school. The story is that as a parent, I visited the school, I saw what it capable of, and envisioned that my children be there, and we put the necessary work. The children's mother put the more work than me. That's what she would say. I contributed just by showing up. But more so that we had the wherewithal. This is where the direction that we would want to see our child at in order to help them. And that takes a lot of effort. And it takes a lot of effort. Sometimes some people don't have the money. Some people don't have the resources or the knowledge. And they find themselves in a particular way how they can't see the forest from the trees, right? Because a lot of parents who are in our community didn't have a favorable experience when it came to school. It was just like, I hated school. I hated what it stood for. And so that, you bring that to your children. How do you bring your children to a thing about loving the art of learning? Because when you go to school, it doesn't feel like sometimes in these communities, it's not about learning. Like, this is not learning, you're just training. You're training the kid to do this, and you're training the kid to do that. You're not teaching them how to learn. The kid learns with his parents. They learn how to read. They learn how to understand or somewhat read, but they know how to talk or communicate. But hopefully, then you teach them how to read properly and read effectively and do math effectively in the learning process, and you're involved in it, but more so, make it enjoyable. And after that, you hope that their process continues when they become independent in their learning, that they would want to learn themselves. And so when you have schools in our community where there's not enough activities or a learning initiatives that keep kids engaged, you'll find that kids are going to act out. You're going to find that you're trying to pigeonhole every kid, regardless of height, weight, religious belief, income, whatever, you're going to be the same, and it doesn't work. How can you have all these different types of children in different types of environment, and you expect them to be the one particular way? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just, if you're listening, you got kids right now, you know, this whole idea of education, I mean, I might turn it on its head when it comes. But the new jobs are in manufacturing, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, but, you know, in trade. Because you're looking at spending all this money to get into an institution to be in debt if you don't have the money, or you don't, to put yourself in a situation where you can get a job. Isn't that the bottom line? You know what I'm saying? Isn't that the bottom line, is to work for money, right? Or be able to work for money? This is, but yet and still we've created an environment where you have to be in a certain school to be able to be seen, to see that you are able to make a certain amount of money. And with schools, it's a racket. And I'm not going to change this thing to be, but what I'm going to say is that there is some issues that we've misaligned ourselves when it comes to learning. And each children should be able to learn something that's going to benefit them and the way that they would want to see their lives progress. But you also, as a parent, you gotta show them the opportunities that are available. Show them enough experiences that are available for them to say, oh, you know what? That is where I think I need to go. And with that, you show some sort of initiative to harness that learning, that training, or whatever it is that they're looking to do, and support it. I mean, shoot, I grew up where I see kids skateboarding. And my parents be like, you ain't skateboarding. You got to go to school. You got to get to walk. And but those same skateboarders, they're making millions of dollars doing things that they enjoy. Right? And would it look foolish? Like, they found a way to create a living or a lifestyle that's going to suit them. So all I'm saying as a parent, and this discussion is more so about education. And I'm going to get into it more, right? Because I do, this is something that I really want to talk about as a parent. How do we create the experience in space so that we are projecting our children in the right way, right? In the right direction. Sometimes we just don't know, you know, we just don't know. And we're at the mercy of the environment that we are. And hopefully we figure, and when I say that, hopefully it's someone, a friend, or someone you knocked into, something you read or you bumped into, and it progresses you. But you got to have that vision, right? That's the key thing. Some of these kids don't have a vision. And some people don't have a vision of where they're trying to go. I mean, the only reason why I went to college I saw Living Color and I saw School Days. That was it, right? That seemed like it was the thing to do. If I didn't see that, my God, you know how much more of a flop I'd probably be? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that as, you know. But I probably wouldn't, I mean, I probably wouldn't have traveled the world. I probably wouldn't have visited. I wouldn't have probably knew the people. It would have been such a one-dimensional lifestyle, you know? And so I'm blessed that I had the opportunity. But one of the things that I wanted to make sure was if I did it all over again, that I was better prepared, right? That I would say better prepared, you know? And that means, I mean, even though I went to Latin Academy for a little bit, whatever, but I didn't think I had the help to really push it through effectively. And maybe what I was doing or what the things that I wanted to do, you know, it didn't align with the straightforwardness into, you know, college, you know? And then I didn't follow that with, you know, you got to follow that out with support, like saying, hey, that's what you want to do. These are the steps that you might have to take. And it might not be, you know, it might not be symptomatic. Like it may not be as straightforward, you know? You may have to leave. You may have to leave and go and venture off. You know what I'm saying? And are you willing to do that? Have you created an environment where your kid could feel confident that they will take the risk and do what they got to do? And you possibly be, if they follow you, not necessarily make sure that it's clean, but you definitely just say, hey, if it gets too rough, you know what I'm saying? I'm here. Because as a parent, that's what I am. But I'm just not, you know, I'm not going to walk you through, hold your hand after you're done graduate. Right? We spent all the money and time to get you to having the ability to have a good thought process to make sure that you can do whatever it is that you do want to do. That's where the investment lies. So if you want to be the next CEO of something, right? I mean, you know, these two tech companies, they ain't really necessary. You got to graduate from swimming school, but we could talk about what the benefits of going to a certain schools and how that affects you. I'm going to talk about that soon, right? But this is my first take on this discussion about school, right? Because I'm seeing my children, and I'm going through it myself. I'm trying to figure out what makes sense for me, how it's going to benefit me and my children, and having that vision. So hopefully as new parents, you know what I'm saying, we're going to work this out together, right? We're going to make sure, because that's all we got. And our children's our future, right? Treat them all and let them lead the way. Well, thank you for taking my time, but we're going to discuss it more. And this is probably part one out of part two. But like I said before, let's do what we can to guide our children in the vision that we want them to see. My name is Greg S. Talker, and I just want to let you know that I love my children. They're the world to me. And I believe your children is the world to you. So with that, we're going to talk again. And I'm out.